I grew up going to church semi-regularly on Sundays, and every week my sisters and I would come to midweek ministry just like you guys have every week. In those classes, we memorized the Lord's Prayer at a very young age and recited it regularly in church. As I look back, I remember a time in my early years when reciting that prayer felt very holy and reverent, an act that would be pleasing to God. I didn't really understand who God was at that time, but I knew enough that it seemed important to please him. As much as I wanted to please God, I also tried really hard to please everyone else in my life. Like most of you, as a kid, all I really wanted was to be seen, to be loved, to be known, to be valued, to feel safe. And as I grew older, I just wanted to find some meaning and purpose in my life. In spite of all of those desires, I actually spent the majority of my childhood and my early teenage years feeling incredibly unseen, unwanted, and unvalued, unloved. I went into adulthood with a big old gaping hole in my heart that was just longing to be filled up by someone or something. I spent the majority of my early adult years endlessly striving to matter, to find something that would fill that gaping hole. By this time, I would have said the Lord's Prayer hundreds, if not thousands, of times. Sadly, it no longer felt very holy or reverent. It began to feel like a duty, a ritual, an obligation. It felt very formal, very rote, very distant and impersonal. They became just words that were memorized with the intent to please some distant being in the universe. But just like all of my other efforts to please, this too fell short. This all too familiar prayer had come to have little to no meaning in my life. The angst in my heart had robbed the prayer of any holiness or reverence. The memorized recitation had become too familiar, too mechanical. It had lost its meaning and significance. It missed the mark. My other prayers, the ones that were not memorized in my childhood church classes, were more like a laundry list of all the things that I wanted, that I thought would make me happy and make my life better. They too lacked any semblance of any holiness or reverence. They too seemed to lack any significance and most often missed the mark and went unanswered. But then something amazing and life-changing happened. God began to reveal himself to me, and I began to experience a father's love like I had never, ever experienced in my life. He adopted me into his family, and because of his love for me, I began to experience the much-needed healing and filling of that gaping hole in my heart. That's when praying the Lord's Prayer made a drastic shift in my life. The words of the prayer didn't change, and God certainly hadn't changed, but I changed because my understanding of who God is changed. The prayer changed because my relationship with the one to whom I was praying changed. And that is really the heart of the matter, all summed up in the first two phrases of the Lord's Prayer. So let's take some time to examine them more closely tonight. The very first phrase, "Our Father who art in heaven," sets the whole tone for praying. It establishes the relationship. The disciples, as Pastor Tim said, had asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Jesus answered with the words of what we know today as the Lord's Prayer. Some believe that it was perhaps not meant to be an instruction to recite the prayer word for word over and over. But instead, Jesus offered it as a model, an outline for how to pray, for themes, how to pray, to focus on in prayer. It gives us a structure, and that structure starts with our relationship with God. Jesus states that we are to call on our Father, not his Father, not someone else's Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. I am his child, and he is my daddy. As believers in Jesus, we are adopted into his family, and we have full access to him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, we read, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. We are to relate to God as intimately and as personally as we would a father. Now, I realize that some of us have known fathers who are harsh, heavy-handed, mean-tongued. We have known fathers that use their strength and power to control or punish or hurt or condemn. We have known fathers that aren't fathers at all. They've been completely absent in our lives, either physically, emotionally, or both. Some of us have known dads that are the feared disciplinarian in the family. Many of us may have heard the "wait till your father comes home" threat from our moms, and we knew we were going to be in major trouble. God is an all-powerful God. He is an all-knowing God. But this Father is the one that you run to in times of trouble. He's never too busy. He's never too tired. He never misuses his power to hurt his children. He's always working for their good. He is always near. He is always reliable. He's always available, and he's always got you. God is a perfect dad who knows all and understands all, who has all the answers to every question and the solutions to every problem. He is trustworthy, faithful, and unchanging, and he loves you unconditionally. There is nothing you could ever do that could cause him to stop loving you. God is the Father who wants to spend time with you. He wants to hear your hopes and dreams. We are to tell him all of our wants and needs, all of our worries and fears, all of our joys and sorrows. He not only listens, but he also desires to speak answers into all of those prayers in your life. Yes, it's all about the relationship. Our Father, my Father, who art in heaven. My life was completely changed when I fully understood how much he desires me and my heart, how much he desires my healing and my welfare. He has good plans and purposes for my life. He desires to bless me and not to punish me. He wants me to walk step by step, hand in hand, like a little child, holding on and trusting in her strong daddy's hand, trusting in his provision and his protection. Knowing and experiencing all of these attributes of God leads us to the second phrase of the prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." Hallowed. It's a strange word. It's a word I don't think I've ever heard outside of the context of this prayer. So what does it mean? It means holy or consecrated, which means sacred or set apart for a special purpose. If something is hallowed, it is greatly revered or honored. Truly, God is filled with majesty and power and glory. He is holy, and his name is above all names. Yes, hallowed be thy name. When we experience the amazing love and overwhelming majesty of this Most High God, it prompts a heart response of awe and reverence. Our desire is to magnify, to glorify, and worship our holy God. We lift his name in praise, giving him all the glory and honor. The Bible confirms that we are to praise and worship our God and Creator. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we read, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5 tell us, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Revelation 4:11 asserts, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Yes. We were made to praise and worship our Holy Father. Our praises honor him and remind us of his holiness and of his power and his ability to do or accomplish all things. Through praise and worship, we acknowledge his rule and reign in this world and in our lives. We acknowledge our need for him, our dependence on him. As we engage in daily prayer, our relationship with him grows deeper and stronger. We shift our focus from our own selfish desires to aligning ourselves with God, fully trusting and putting our lives in his hands. This is the transformation that I have experienced and continue to experience in my life. It is the root and foundation for my heart of worship on the praise team each Sunday. I'm not a singer. At best, I make a joyful noise. The thought of standing before the congregation and the camera every Sunday makes my heart crumble. But entering into the holy presence of God, standing before my Lord and Savior, singing praises and expressing adoration for the audience of one, truly makes my heart sing. My prayer life has been completely transformed from selfish laundry lists of what I want and what would make my life better to prayers that align with what God's will is and with God's word. Prayers that bless his people and build his kingdom. Prayers that pursue God's heart and release his power. Yes, in my wrestling, in my striving, in my seeking, I began to actually experience and understand who God fully is and who he isn't. He's not some far-off, distant being in the universe that is unknowable. He is intimate and close. He is all I've ever longed for and all I've ever desired. I am his and he is mine. He is holy and righteous and perfect and worthy of all of my praise, worthy of all of my prayers. He alone has the power to save and the power to answer. The Lord's Prayer is no longer a mechanical recitation for me. It is not an impersonal, rote ritual. Praise God, it is once again holy and reverent, personal and powerful in my life. Yes, my Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Please pray along with me in your heart as I personalize and individualize the Lord's Prayer. My Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread, everything that I need. I depend on you for, Lord. And forgive me for all of my trespasses, as I forgive those who trespass against me. And lead me not into temptation, Lord, but deliver me from evil. For yours, Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.